The passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the Gospel. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have this really intriguing encounter between this man who has the infirmity of hearing and of speech and Jesus. To quote the kids when they heard me getting ready for this sermon, yeah, gross. We have Jesus, you know, in a very earthy aspect here. He's really touching this man in a way that jars our sensibilities. You know, we look at Jesus, this man who is able to command the healing of the centurion's servant from miles and miles away. The same man that was able to look at the lepers up across and over the hill and heal them by a word, who raised the dead with a touch, who brought sight to the blind. And here we have this particularly jarring encounter where this particular set of infirmities is met with a real physical presence. And I think that's a reminder to us that our faith is not simply intellectual. It isn't simply spiritual. That's an inclination that we've had throughout history, and I think that is an inclination we share today, to discount the physical. But the crucifixion wasn't intellectual. You know, he suffered on that cross. He died on that cross. And in the resurrection, when he came to see his apostles who were scared that he was a ghost, how did he prove himself to them? By having them put their fingers in his scars, on his hands, and in his chest, so that the very wounds that he suffered in this world for the love of us became the identifying marks that he carried forward into the resurrection and into eternity. And so what we do with our bodies, what Jesus did with his body, was important. And I think that the reason for Jesus to have this particularly jangling encounter was for our benefit. Not just us as the Catholic Church and the historical church, but for us that are in this time and in this place. I don't believe there's anybody in the history of the church who has had a harder time hearing God than we do. And I hear that. I have had that in my own life, and I hear it as I minister to people that we're going through hard times, that God doesn't seem to speak to us the way that he used to, that we can't hear him. And of course, how can we? Our worlds are full of anxiety and busyness, worries of our social calendars, of the needs of our families and the joys of our families. We have our telephones ringing at us or talking to us or beeping at us 24/7. We've got news on 10 channels that runs 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If there ever was a generation who had a difficult time opening their ears, it's ours. And the way that God speaks to us is the way that he spoke to Elijah, which is with a still, small voice. And in our busyness, in our anxiety, in our social engagements, in our interactions with our devices and our social media, it's really hard to be still. It's really hard to get to that place where we can shut out the world and we can see God, we can hear God. But God hasn't stopped talking to us. It's his nature to talk to us, right? I mean, he created the world by speaking it, and it was made. He spoke with Adam and Eve in the garden. He spoke to Cain after he murdered his brother. He spoke to Abraham, to Moses. He spoke to Joseph. He spoke to Elijah. He spoke to David. He made himself, his son incarnate, so that he could speak the gospel to us. Jesus didn't type the gospel. He spoke it to us. He taught us with his words, with his speech. And then the miracle that was the announcement of the gift of the Holy Ghost to us was a gift of the apostles speaking his words in all tongues to all people at the same time. God never stops speaking to us. We just have trouble hearing him. Right? So what is the way that he solves this man's problem? Well, he solves his problem the way that Tristan, my 3-year-old, solves the problem of having too much noise in his life. Jesus put his fingers in the guy's ears. Stop. Drown out the noise. Take away the world. Take away the outside voices and the big noises and the constant noise so that we can actually have that stillness that we need to hear the voice of God speaking into our hearts and into our souls. And of course, there's no time that we're more receptive and open to hearing that still and small voice than when we are in prayer. Now, once Jesus has cured the man of his problem of hearing, he moves on to his problem of speech, because the other aspect of God's conversation with us is that he doesn't just speak at us like the parent of a teenager. He actually expects us to answer back. He wanted Adam and Eve to answer back. He expected Cain to answer him. He expects us to respond to his word, to speak. And he wants us to speak that which we were created to speak. And what is that? Words of praise and thanksgiving. That's what he wants from us. But because we can't hear the word of God, it's very difficult for us to speak the word of God. Because our lives don't have his still small voice, it only has the constant wind of the world going through our mouths. Our mouths are dry. And you can't make words at all when your mouth is dry. And you certainly can't make godly words unless you have godly moisture in your mouth. And that's how he actually heals this infirmity, unties a string of that man's tongue. It sounds gross. He took a finger and he took some saliva on the tip of his tongue, and then he put it on that man's tongue. Even that little drop of the moisture and the life that came from Jesus was enough to unravel the string of that man's tongue so that he could speak. And he didn't just speak words, empty words, noisy words. He spoke godly words. What came out of his mouth through the benefit of that little bit of moisture from Jesus were praise and thanksgiving. And of course, we suffer like that man, right? We have trouble saying godly words, giving praise and thanksgiving. We say too many words that aren't godly. God knows that this is a time of ungodly speaking in our media, with our politicians, in every aspect of our lives. And so often it's also that true in our own and personal lives. Fortunately for us, Jesus doesn't stick his spittle-covered finger down our throat, right? But he does moisten our mouths. He does give us his very blood that he shed for us on the cross to be his life in us so that we can speak the words of life from our mouths. When we come and we receive communion, we are getting what that man who had the deaf and dumb aspect got when he encountered Jesus. We are getting the life, the moisture, the very being of God to be in us so that we can live in him. His word comes to live in us so that we can speak his words back to him the way that we were created to do. And then what happens, right? The entire crowd starts speaking in thanksgiving and praise, and they can't be shushed, and they can't be quieted. Now, they weren't speaking praise before Jesus did this miracle. They were not speaking praise. They were testing Jesus. All right, you raised a dead guy. You got a couple of lepers cured. How about this deaf and dumb guy? That's supposed to be one of the signs. They were testing him. But when that man began to speak, and what came out of his mouth were godly words, not only was he refreshed with the Spirit, the moisture, the life of Jesus, the life of God in him, but everybody around him was opened. Ephatha opened to the love of God and to speaking back to God in the words that God wants us to hear, speaking godly praise and godly thanksgiving. And it's that way with us too. When he feeds us, when he moistens our lips, when he puts his moisture and his life in us, and we come out and we speak godly words of praise and thanksgiving to the world is also converted. It's when people see us speaking and living what we hear from God here as we live our lives that changes the world. Because guess what? Just like those people who are testing Jesus, everybody in our lives is testing our faith. They're watching us. Does that Jesus that you believe in actually change your life? Does he actually make you better? Can you deal with the difficulties of this world with grace and confidence and faith? Can you be joyful, full of praise and thanksgiving in a world that doesn't seem to be offering very much of that? And if we can be, just as that crowd was converted by the speaking of that man, our world is converted by our godly speaking when we leave here and rejoin the world. So as we look forward to our week, let's remember that God doesn't leave us, that he's always speaking to us, that if we find that quiet time in our prayer and we cover our ears, we will hear him. And he helps us to answer him in the way that is most beneficial for us and joyous to him, praise and thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.